nationwide. We bring you latest current issues, discussions and information. Nationwide on Radio Miraya.
Hello and welcome to Nationwide Discussion Hour with me, Gabriel Shadar. And today I'm hosting an official from the revitalized Joint Monitoring and Evaluation Commission, known in short as RJMEC. The body was set by the peace agreement in 2015 and continued to carry out monitoring activities that include security and ceasefire mechanisms along with other political engagements. RJMEC has been instrumental in engaging the signatories to the peace agreement and partners to dialogue and implement key aspects of the deal. And to come up to speed on what the RJMEC has been doing with regards to the implementation of the revitalized peace agreement, I welcome to our studios on Radio Miraya the RJMEC Chief of Staff, Ambassador Berhanu Kebele. Welcome, Ambassador, on our studios and also on this program nationwide.
Thank you, Gabriel, for having me on your program.
Yes, and of course, you came to the RJMEC with a vast experience. You have a military background and security, and also with a lot of political experience in this field. The peacekeeping and the peace implementation, they come together in one way or another. And recently, we had developments in the peace agreement implementation. So what can you tell our listeners about the status of the implementation of the peace agreement, especially with the passing out of the more than 22,000 of the necessary unified forces in the Equatorial region? And the expected graduation also of more forces in the other two regions. Welcome.
Thank you, Gabriel. I'm not a military. I don't have military background.
Okay.
I'm a diplomat.
A diploma. Okay. Yeah. Welcome.
It's you know, the graduation of the 22,000 forces on the 30th of August is a significant milestone. Even though this task should have been accomplished during the pre-transition period. The next step is to finish the first phase of the graduation, especially the graduation, mainly the graduation of the remaining necessary unified forces in the three greater equatorial region training centers, Morata, Maridi, and Oinkibiru. And then they have to finish Artagonu, or the parties have to graduate forces in Greater Bahar Ghazal and Greater Upper Nile. So this is the first phase. And then start on the on the training of the second phase of the unified forces. Before the training, I think it's good to have some stock-taking exercise of what has happened during the first phase so that mistakes are not repeated, and also to build on the success story observed during the first phase. For example, the forces should not be stay long and for in the cantonment and training sites, centers. They should be provided with necessary food, logistic support, and the health facility. The other is that the immediate deployment of the forces should be taken into account also. These forces, as soon as they graduate, they should be deployed to their respective units. And the other is we should make sure that these people, you know, are paid salary so that they're really fully integrated into the unified forces. And also we'd like to see that as they go on in their respective unit, to develop some sort of esprit de corps of a unified force, so that they become loyal to the constitution and to the country. We want to see a unified force which is, which develops the, esprit de corps, and which is under one commander in chief. So the country has a unified force which guarantees peace and security and stability to the people of South Sudan. This is what we expect. as far as the graduation of forces is concerned. And generally, we consider this task as the most important task of the as far as the implementation of the agreement is concerned.
Mm-hmm. And what are the next steps in the security arrangements?
Well, the security arrangement, as I have told you, is the completion of the graduation of the unified forces. Mm. Now they have graduated the first phase, and they have to complete the first phase and go to the second phase. And during the second phase, it has to be done in a very coordinated, harmonized manner, so that they don't repeat the mistake they have made in the past during the first phase of the training of the unified force. Forces in the cantonment and training sites should be handled properly. The training program should be managed in a very coordinated manner. And once they are graduate, you know, they should be deployed to their respective unit. And also, you know, this is a process. The unification of forces is not going to be completed in the training centers. Mm. It has to be done also in the respective unit. It is an ongoing process. As you know, in the military sector is a dynamic sector.
Yeah.
It has to correspond to the realities of the time.
Yeah. And as we speak about this development, there are issues of concern, which is about follow-up question of security arrangement is the demilitarization issue. What can you say about that?
I think this is an issue which has to be well-planned, well-programmed. It should not be done spontaneously. The first is to finish the unification of forces, deploy the force in different parts of the country so that people feel secure, you know, to give their arms. Once they feel secured, they will be willing. Mm. And also, you know, it has to be planned. Take the experience of other countries, how they have done it. And also take into account the specific characteristics of South Sudan. So this is not an issue that you just rush and do. Mm. It has to be well planned. It requires discussion with the elders of the society. It has to be discussed with the community. And also they have to give it assurance because of the deployment of the new reality, because of the unified forces, which will provide security, peace and security to the South Sudanese. Mm. So disarmament or collection of arms,
which is DDR.
DDR. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So DDR also is part of the unification process. Mm. Those who are not going to join the unified forces should be catered with. You know, they should have an alternative livelihood. So the DDR program also should be taken seriously this time. Mm.
Ambassador Berhanu Bekele, Okay. And we are also seeing reports about violent incidents in some parts of the country. And these reports continue to come in, especially in Upper Nile region. And how are the RGMEC mechanisms dealing with the situation? And how do you look at this kind of developments?
First of all, at the outset, I would like to take this opportunity to express my sympathy and condolences for those people who are affected by this conflict, intercommunal conflict. I think the Artagan who has really to do to undertake some serious work to find the genesis of this crisis, of this conflict. And also, they should put in place a mechanism which involves the elders, the community, so that to understand the genesis of the problem and mix, you know, the solution laid by the government at the same time with the involvement of the communities, so that they attack the, you know, the main problem that leads to this conflict. In Upper Nile also, you know, there is the famous Khartoum Agreement, which the Aguela and Joseph...
Simon Gatwich
and the other Joseph Oloin. Mm-hmm. There is the Khartoum Agreement, has to be implemented. Those involved in this agreement has to come together and try to really address the problem. Otherwise, it will continue to affect the livelihood of ordinary people.
Is RGMEC discussing this? Have they touched on this? They are monitoring the
these
situation.
These conflicts, when you look at the nature of these conflicts, they are not fighting among the parties, which RGMEC monitors, parties to the Arrakis. These are organizations that are outside the Arrakis, but they will have direct or indirect implication on the peace of this country. So there was a very good agreement, the Khartoum Agreement, and so that agreement has to be implemented, and those who are involved in this, I think, has to really go back and look to the agreement and how to address this conflict.
Are the security mechanisms able also to monitor this?
Yeah, the citizen VM is trying to its best to find out. You know, first of all, they do serious investigation before they attribute any blame to any part of the group. So the CITSAM currently it has a problem because of the rule of the American support. They are not really equipped in terms of plane and helicopter. But recently the national monitors have joined the CITSAM VM, and I'm sure they will give priority to this issue to understand the nature of this conflict.
Listeners, Radio Mirai, this is me, Gabriel Shadara. This is Nationwide Discussion Hour on Radio Mirai, and I'm hosting the Chief of Staff of RGMEC, Ambassador Berhanu Kebede, the Chief of Staff of RGMEC, and we have just touched on the graduation of forces and what RGMEC expects from the peace partners in the next phase of graduation. And Ambassador Kebede has already mentioned that there is a need to maintain the forces, to give them salaries and also to deploy them and also bring them in the spirit de corps. That means they have one doctrine of military doctrine and also having allegiance to the nation, also under one commander and all that. We have just touched on the violence that has been experienced in the Upper Nile region. And now let us move, Ambassador Kebede, to the aspects of the revitalized agreement that are yet implemented and the expectations of the RGMEC. Especially commentators have already wondered how more than 70% of the tasks could be achieved in the extension of the 24 months. Because all this time, the partners achieved less than 30% of what they are supposed to implement. So what do you think are the other aspects that remains to be done in the peace agreement?
The roadmap has outlined the most important tasks that has to be undertaken by the Ertegun or by the parties in order to lead the country towards a free, fair and democratic election. The first thing is the unification of forces, as I have outlined. The unification of forces have to be executed in letter and spirit according to Arrakis. And the other is the constitutional making process. For example, all the legislations that are in the hands of the TNLA has to be processed. The NACAC has to complete the review of laws that are to be considered by NACAC and then submitted to the Ministry of Justice and Constitutional Affairs and eventually to TNLA. And and also address, allow the security laws to be processed and adopted, the economic laws which are destined to bring accountability, transparency in the management of the resources of the country should be legislated. For example, in Chapter 2, the unification of forces and other review, security review has to be undertaken. Mm-hmm. In Chapter 3, we should make sure that the refugees and IDPs have to return with dignity and respect so that they can participate in the political and economic process that is going to happen in the country. The reconstruction fund has to be, special reconstruction fund, which is stipulated under Chapter 3, has to be reconstituted, which entails the government to contribute $100 million every year to this fund, and the international community is also to support this fund. This transits or bridges creates the bridge of the country to go from humanitarian to development.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a reconstruction program that is very important. Under Chapter 4, as I have said, all legislations and establishment of institutions that bring about accountability and transparency of the economy has to be implemented. In Chapter 5, the transitional security institutions have to be in place to bring about reconciliation and healing within the South Sudanese society.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the Chapter 6 also, you know, the constitutional making process, which is the legislation which paves the way for the constitutional making process, have to be adopted. And the different institutions like the National Election Committee and CRC has to be established.
Mm-hmm.
And the Judicial Reform Commission also has to complete its task. So these are a lot of works to be done. And these are outlined in the roadmap. And the parties have agreed to, you know, provide the timeline and the deliverables so that we can reach at the final stage towards the election.
Yeah.
Which brings about a democratically elected government.
And then how is the leadership of the RGMEC helping in this?
Well, the RGMEC leadership continues to engage the parties, the presidency, the sector ministries, and very important ministries that have a big role in the implementation of the roadmap, and engaging the regional guarantors, both at ministerial and heads of states and government level, and also approaching the AU, the EU Peace and Security Council, and also addressing the Security Council and the UN to support the peace process. And this will continue doing this because we have to have a robust monitoring and oversight exercise to see that the roadmap is implemented mm-hmm. later in the spirit.
Yeah. Your last meeting of JMEC was like endorsing the roadmap. And then we heard that there is a process that will follow. It will be presented to the parliament and all these. Where will the process end? Is it going up to the IGAD, the African Union, or just is considered an internal matter?
As you may know, Gabriel, the AU, the IGAD, heads of states have fully endorsed the roadmap.
Mm.
But it's also stipulated in Article 8.4 of the ARRACRES, which says, first of all, it has to be agreed by the parties and then approved by two-thirds members of the Council of Ministers and then assented on by the two-thirds members of RGMEC, which is on August 30th. That is how it has happened. By the way, we should separate RGMEC Secretariat and RGMEC.
Yeah.
RGMEC has 43 members
mm-hmm.
composed of the parties to the agreement, the regional guarantors, international partners, South Sudanese stakeholders, which means the youth, the civil society, and so on, and the IPF, international partners for our members. So it is a wide group. It's 43 members.
Mm-hmm.
So these are RGMEC who makes the decision. So the extension as well as the substantive content of the roadmap has been approved by 37 members of RGMEC out of 43.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You earlier mentioned the challenges of withdrawal of funding. And I wonder how the bodies are coping with that.
Well, we have to restructure ourselves and prepare to address the problem, and I hope we'll survive so that we can be in a position to deliver on our mandate. And I hope, it is our hope, that the USA government at a given point in time might consider to come back. Once they see, this is the frustration, there is a frustration among international partners that the implementation was not moving as it should. So that might have led to for their withdrawal. But if the implementation of the roadmap progress and they see result, they might come in and support
mm-hmm.
the peace process. And they haven't opposed the roadmap, as you
mm-hmm.
know.
Mm-hmm.
They only want the decision to be taken at a later stage.
Yeah. And just maybe for the sake of argument, the withdrawal of funding from the security mechanisms, this might make us think about, okay, how crucial are the security mechanisms themselves for the implementation of the peace agreement?
Well, let's say not security mechanism. The Arjamek is a commission,
yeah,
and the security mechanism sits on VM. Mm. These are very important organizations. They are on daily basis that monitor the implementation of the agreement and the report to Artagon on its success and lacuna in the implementation of the agreement, to the guarantors who are guarantors of the Arrakis, mm-hmm, to the international communities, to the UN and the UN Secretary General, to the EU chairperson, to the EU Peace Security Council. So these are very important bodies, you know, that have to be there in order to objectively evaluate the implementation of the agreement. CITSAM-VM is a very important commission, I mean, org mechanism. Mm. They are all over the country. They are the eyes and ears of the international committee and regional guarantors. They are the one who really inform us on the implementation of the transition security arrangement.
Yeah, hence the funding is very, very crucial.
Yes, the funding is very crucial, but still they are operating, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean that they are fractured or collapsed. They are, yeah, still doing the monitoring exercise.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the support of the United States was very important, like the helicopter, the fixed-wing plane, and also some logistical support. So I'm not denying that the support of the United States was very little. It was very important, but despite this, other countries might come in, and also we are hoping that if there is a good progress in the implementation of the roadmap, that the United States might come back and support these mechanisms.
And we hope so. Now, before I engage the listeners, the last question is, what is next on the agenda on the table of RJMEC?
On the agenda, first of all, is we have to review our activity plan, operational plan, in light of the new developments, that is the adoption of the roadmap. And then also we have to have a strategic plan on how to have a robust oversight method. And so we are engaged in this exercise. This is internally within ourselves. This is the major priority. But for us is to, on the basis of the roadmap, to monitor the implementation of the agreement, identify the new actors that have been brought to the scene because of the roadmap. For example, the line ministries, the clusters, and also, you know, the economic space that is required for an inclusive political process, for an inclusive implementation of the agreement, of the roadmap.
Mm.
So we'll see all the elements in the roadmap, if they are implemented, whether they are implemented according to this timeline, according to the deliverables are implemented. So these are our priorities in the coming days.
Mm. How confident are you that the roadmap is going to be really implemented on time and without expecting any challenges ahead? Every part has unforeseen things.
Yeah,
we have already seen the flooding is happening,
yes,
food gaps in here and all these kind of things, intercommunal violence and all these. These can play elements of derailing the process.
Yes, there are man-made and natural calamities that might hamper the implementation of the agreement. But, you know, if the parties agree, if, you know, the positive development that we have witnessed in the last 2-3 months, is if we build momentum on these positive developments, I think they can implement the agreement. And we have seen a complete departure in terms of trust, confidence among the parties, the way they are resolving challenges, you know, the unification of forces, the command structure, you know, to address, for example, the lack of resources to effect the graduation,
mm-hmm,
to graduate forces. They have organized themselves and delivered. So we hope that this momentum has to be kept.
Yeah.
Because this is the only road, this is the only window of opportunity for South Sudan to be a peaceful country, and to engage in a development program, and also to engage in activities that brings South Sudan as a main player in the region and the international arena.
Yeah, and the international community and other activists have been so much emphasizing the issues of Chapter 5, especially accountability for all this and the hybrid court and all this. Some of the blame goes also to the delay in the bodies that are supposed to appoint the court. And some people, sometimes you hear the government say we are waiting for the AU to do this, and the AU says we are waiting for the government to do this and all that. So how are you dealing with this in RGMEC?
We know that some discussion is going on between the AU and the government on the establishment of the hybrid court. But there is also, we have to really recognize that there is a significant progress in the establishment of the CTRHL, the Commission on Truth and Healing and Reconciliation. For example, the technical committee has gone around the country, consulted with the people of South Sudan, and they are writing the report. And the report will help to formulate the legislation that leads towards the establishment of CTRHL. Mm-hmm. And also they are going to the compensation and recuperation commission.
Yeah.
They are going to send some delegations in order to see the experience of other countries, to South Africa and maybe from Gambia, if I remember very well. Mm-hmm. So, you know, some positive developments are going that chapter, yes, but there is a delay in the development, in the establishment of the hybrid court, but discussion is going on.
Yeah. Thank you for that, Ambassador Berhanu Kibede, the Chief of Staff of RGMEC. And we'll soon be engaging the listeners after a very short interlude. And the numbers for the listeners that they can call in for comment or question is 091206-2950, 091206-2079. And the SMS line on which I can receive your SMS messages are... the number is 091217714, and I will be having Chief of Staff of RGMEC, that is Revitalized Joint Monitoring and Evaluation Commission, which is a body that is monitoring the implementation of the peace agreement in South Sudan. So, of course, you can call me after this interlude.
101 FM. About the nation, across the nation. Radio Miraya.
Salam alaikum. Alaikum salam.
Bennett Bazia from Borbor National Association. My message to people of South Sudan is let us embrace peace. Wherever you are, the peace start with me and will start with you. You start the peace from home. And from home now you can go to the community now the country level. So all of us should have that peace in us before we transform the peace to others. Let's love peace, let's stand for peace so that we can build our country, South Sudan.
South Sudan, a new dawn, a new beginning. Let's celebrate the peace.
Alaikum salam.
Nationwide, we bring you latest current issues, discussions, and information. Nationwide on Radio Miraya.
That is the coming back for us on the Nationwide Discussion Hour with me, Gabriel Shadar, and in the studio with me is Ambassador Berhanu Kibede, the Chief of Staff of RGMEC, and we are discussing the reviews on the progress of the implementation of the peace agreement. Let me take some of the callers online. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, yes, welcome. Who's calling?
I Peter a boy from Malakal, POC Malakal.
Come again?
I Peter a boy from POC Malakal.
A boy, welcome from POC Malakal.
Peter. Yes, my question to Kibadi, Jimak. I'm asking question. Those of Kidgwang is already the part of agreement, reward peace agreement, according to what I know. Because that was the chief of the staff of HCLAIO, and another one is oppression, the one fighting now. That means the under-monitoring of GMEC. How GMEC can sign out quickly like this? They should push them in the table of the revised peace agreement, because that one of the Kibwang agreement, if somebody is looking like partly of the security arrangement, but all of them under the three of the revised peace agreement. So please, can you make more clarification about that? I hope my question is clear.
Okay, I hope, because the line also is a little bit poor. Yes, I hope you pick the question.
Yes, this is about the Kitwang group and maybe implying also Joseph Olony.
Johnson Olony. Yeah.
Johnson Olony.
Mm-hmm.
As I have told you, these are not part of
part of the Arakras. Arakras, yes.
the Kitwang group, he has defected, chief of staff defected from SPLMIO and established his own group. And then subsequently there was an agreement signed in Khartoum. So the Khartoum agreement has to be implemented. And if there are some challenges, the challenges also have to be examined. So what I said is, those who are involved in this Khartoum agreement has to sit down and hammer out their differences and implement the agreement.
Yeah, thank you for that. Let me take more callers. Hello?
Hello, hi.
Yes, welcome. Who's calling?
Hello, hi.
Sorry, Zaman Bita Guna, you have called on the wrong time. This is not for the... we are having serious discussions here. Hello? Hello? Radio Mirai.
Yes, it's Bol Gabriel from Makobo. Yeah, Radio Mirai. This is Bol Gabriel from Makobo.
Bol Gabriel from Makobo. Welcome.
Yeah, okay. Thank you for the topic. I welcome the guest. I will have only one question. You know, we've seen this Unify Force was being graduated, so everybody is happy, okay? So now there is something that we are seeing now from this graduation of Unified Force. For us, really, okay, actually like me, I can say that graduating this force cannot solve all the problems, okay? Because there are some force that have been left behind, like those of Kitwang. They are not in agreement, if you see now, because they are still making a problem now, okay? And there is those who did not went to the training, okay? Those who are in government before, who are security force and other soldier, okay. Now they have been not included in the, they cannot be included in the in the development of they will be mixed together with unified force, okay. So how will they really react or interact with those who came from those who have been in
unified
in training yeah, of course.
Okay, thanks Gabriel, Paul Gabriel from Makobo there. Can you answer that, chief of staff?
The forces, the graduated forces will be deployed into different parts of the country to the respective units. If this graduation is completed, the country will have a unified force which is disciplined, which will assume the responsibility of keeping peace and security and ensuring peace to the people of South Sudan. And that by itself will have a contribution. These intercommunal conflicts will reduce significantly. But this also should be accompanied by other elements, which is a political process, you know, discussion among communities to hammer out their differences, to address the genesis of the conflict between the different communities. Cultural leaders, chiefs have to be involved. And so all this, if they come together, there is a possibility of finding a solution to the problem. This is a process. We might not find a lasting solution within a short period of time, but in the process, with the deployment of forces, with the application of the right political process, there is hope that South Sudan will be in peace.
listening to a nationwide program on Radio Mirage. Me, Gabriel Shadar. And the numbers to call for engagement are 09-1206-2950 and 09-1206-2079. And the SMS line is 09-1217-7141. And I will be picking your calls and also your SMSs. Hello? Hello?
Gabriel Shadar. It's
Anur. What's your
name?
Okay. We have lost Manud there, but the question, his line of question is, what is the word, what is the advice for the holdout groups that are opting out of the peace process?
As you may know, there is an initiative led by Saint Gedeo, the Saint Gedeo Rome process, peace process, which tries to bring those holdout groups in the mainstream of the peace process. Now, recently there is a success story, at least some of them are joining Citizen VM to monitor the implementation of COHA, cessation of hostilities agreement, as a transitional security arrangement. I think we have to urge the holdout groups, you know, to join the peace and also be part of the democratization process, the constitutional making process. They might have different policy, different ideology, different political strategy. In the due course of time, there will be a political space, a civic space for them to exercise their political right, their freedom to organize themselves and stand for an election. So let them come and join the peace process. This is what I... On this side, also on the government side, the government has to really expand the political space so that these people feel free to come and participate in the peace process. So let's support the Rome peace process, and through the Rome peace process, the holdout groups to join the implementation of the peace agreement, and also contribute to the peace of their motherland, South Sudan.
This is an obvious question from a listener in Bentiu. We saw Gakal Yondio from Bentiu. He wonders whether RGMEC has any responsibility toward the graduation of unified forces.
Yes, we monitor. We are the monitors of the transitional security arrangement. The unification of forces is one aspect of the transitional security arrangement. As you may recall, during the pre-transition period, it was expected that the country will have a unified force of 83,000. That's what we are doing, and the parties are trying to achieve. So this is a good news. We have to build on that, have these forces, unified forces, deployed in different parts of the country so that the country has a force which is under one commander-in-chief, disciplined, loyal to the constitution, loyal to the people. So this is a situation that we should welcome.
Yeah. And also another listener from Awil, I'm taking you around the country, is Del Awengdid. From Chimele, Northern Bagazali, says he wonders also what is the importance of the role of RGMEC for the citizens of South Sudan and the armies that are in the country.
Well, our responsibility is we don't have an enforcement mechanism. Ours is to monitor. It's a human resource intensive organization. Do analytical work, report the objective reality, the objective fact on the implementation of the agreement, so that the government takes, the parties take the appropriate action, the regional guarantors take also the necessary action, and the international community also act accordingly. So this is the power that we have. But our monitoring has, and the recommendations has helped a lot in the implementation of the agreement, be it with the formation of government, the command structure, because we bring this to the attention of the people who can make a difference, for example, the IGAD chairperson, or the IGAD countries. So even though the implementation was moving very slowly, some of the achievements that we have registered in the implementation of the agreement is due to the report and recommendation of RGMEC.
Yeah, Yeah, this is something the average person do not see, but yeah. It's good that you tell them so that they understand this aspect. Let me take another caller. Hello.
Yes, hello.
Yes, welcome.
Gabriel Joseph Shadar.
Yes, welcome. You can put off your radio. Yeah.
From Warab to Real East.
Yes.
Yes, my question is, I don't see the process, okay, the process the government and the RGMEC doing to bring these people together so that they should join the government and the IO and the rest of the parties for peace.
Which people?
I don't see.
Which
what,
people?
What process? The hold-out group. I'm talking about
the hold-out groups. Okay.
Yes, so I don't see the process. They are just saying, let this hold-out group join the people. And I don't see the process, how the process is going.
Okay.
It's one thing, okay? Mm-hmm. Another one, our unified force is just graduated a week ago, and it will be integrated, they will be bringing together, okay? They will be unified, it will be one force, okay? They will be only protect our country, okay, from other oppressions, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And the biggest problem is that, okay, they will be deployed, and they will not be paid well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, how do they exceed this? How will they be protecting our country and our people?
Yep.
So how will they do it? And the duty is very big, and what will they get later on?
Yep.
Small.
Yeah, I've got your question there.
I'm talking about the issue of payment.
Okay,
later
good.
On, they will be deployed and they will be given 1,500. What is this?
Okay, thank you for that.
So
and
okay, thank you.
Thank you for that. I think Ambassador Berhanu Kibede, we are back to where you started earlier.
Yeah, the holdout groups, I think my brother, he might have had the wrong peace process.
Yeah.
This process was initiated to bring the holdout groups to join the peace process. So we have to help those who have initiated this program, the San Gedeo institution, and also whatever the chance we get to meet the leaders of the holdout groups, we should encourage them. This is high time for them to join, really to bring a difference in their own country. So this is the only hope, that the only channel that we have is the Rome process. And we are not a party to that. Our responsibility is to look into the implementation of our ACRES, which involves the five parties. So we report, we bring to their attention some of the success and some of the lacuna in the implementation process. We engage at various levels, at president, the president, with the first vice president, the other members of the presidency, with the ministers, so that they live up to the responsibility of implementing the agreement. But the holdout groups, I think there is an initiative. The IGAD is involved. The IGAD special envoy is given a special task to, you know, to work together with the San Gedeo group to bring these holdout groups into the implementation of the agreement.
Yeah.
Regarding pay, you know, the country has a problem now. It might not pay, you know, a handsome salary or a very attractive salary, but they are paying, as far as I know, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And when there is peace, when the country's development, you know, grows, economic development, you know, catches up, then I think their livelihood also will improve.
Yeah.
You have to see also the ordinary citizen.
Definitely.
Because it is out of lack of peace. So they will contribute to peace and stability, and that peace and stability will contribute also to the improvement of their well-being and livelihood, and to the livelihood of each citizen of South Sudan.
Yep. Thank you, Ambassador Berhanu Kibede. And it has been wonderful engagement with you, and we had learned a lot, and I hope the citizens have learned a lot. And apologies on my side for mixing your name with another Ethiopian general, because you both were carrying the same name. So I mixed that. That is on my part. Forgive me for that omission. And, of course, we give you like 1 minute to say a message to the people of South Sudan.
I think the motto of this Radio Maria, we celebrate peace, work for peace. Every and each South Sudan citizen should work towards peace. Peace, stability, economic development, economic growth will take out this country from the quagmire it finds itself now. So everybody should work for peace. And the leadership have shown us as an example, because they are working together and have implemented very important milestone tasks of the graduation, and I hope they will deliver on the constitutional making process. So the South Sudanese should unite together and implement this peace agreement, the ARA-ACRES, which is the only window of opportunity for South Sudan to achieve peace and stability.
Thank you very much, Ambassador Berhanu Kibede, the Chief of Staff of the Revitalized Joint Monitoring and Evaluation Commission, which is monitoring the peace agreement implementation in South Sudan. And that is the end of today's discussion hour on Radio Miraya. I'm Gabriel Shadar. Thanks for listening.